The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Caring, accomplished woman, our Congresswoman, Representative Madeline Dean. But more about Representative Dean later. Also this month, our Soul Matters theme is Renewing Faith. Our monthly themes invite us to think about not only what values our UU faith calls us to, but also the actions and skills that those values require of us. We need to renew our faith and reaffirm our UU principles to face the pandemic, as well as our racial, political, and environmental challenges. And now, Susan Hare will give us the opening words.
Today's opening is a quote from the former Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. RBG spent a lifetime flourishing in the face of adversity before being appointed to the Supreme Court. She was only the second woman appointed to the court and the first Jewish woman appointed. She graduated first in her class from Columbia Law School and was the first person on both the Harvard and Columbia Law Review and became the second female law professor at Rutgers. Here's just one of her famous quotes. "Women belong in all places where decisions are being made. It shouldn't be that women are the exception. We're here not as one at a time curiosities. We are here to stay and in all our diversity." And now Gail Sayre will deliver our chalice lighting words.
We light the chalice with words from Reverend David Breeden in Renewing Faith, A Call to Worship. We ask, what's the point? To renew our faith, to renew our trust, that our world is enough, that we are enough. We ask, what's the point? To remind ourselves that loving our world and each other is our way. We ask, what's the point? To renew our faith that loving choices create a loving life. And now Flo Shore will light the peace lamp.
When I light the peace lamp, your response will be, and with all the people of the world. And the peace lamp has been lit. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world.
Now we will have our gathering song, hymn 1028, Fire of Commitment, performed by Lindley Wong for Star King UU Church. The lyrics are in the video.
Passion, me to call us on our way. From the dreams of youthful vision comes a new prophetic voice, which demands a deeper justice built by our courageous choice. When the fire of commitment sets our mind and soul ablaze, when our hunger and our passion lead to call us on our way, when we live with deep assurance of the flame that burns within, then our promise finds fulfillment and our future can begin.
And now, we're going to begin our reflecting together portion of the service by watching a video. It's a conversation through story video called Girls Who Rock the World.
Girl who rocked the world.
Chinese officials thought her
I think that video was the perfect introduction for our next guest, because ever since I've met her in, I think it was 2011, when she first ran for State House, I said, there is a woman who's going to rock the world. And from that day forward, she has indeed been rocking the world. Madeline Dean was born and raised in Glenside, Pennsylvania. She graduated from LaSalle University and earned her law degree at Widener University. Madeline then returned home and practiced law with the Philadelphia trial lawyers before opening a three-woman law firm in Glenside. While raising three sons, Madeline changed career paths to become a professor of writing at LaSalle University. In 2012, Madeline successfully ran for state representative in the 153rd District. In the legislature, she was appointed to Governor Wolf's Commission for Women, co-founded the gun safety group PA Safe, and was an outspoken leader on progressive issues. In 2018, she was elected to represent Pennsylvania's 4th Congressional District, Montgomery and Berks County, in the 116th Congress. In Washington, she serves on the powerful Judiciary and Financial Services Committees, championing priorities like public education, combating addiction, equal rights, access to health care, protecting the environment, ethics, criminal justice reform, gun violence, and more. Many of the values that you use hold dear to their hearts. In 2019, she was elected vice chair of the Bipartisan Women's Caucus. In 2021, she served as an impeachment manager for the second impeachment of President Donald Trump. Now in her second term, she's focusing on decency, the common good, and solutions to serve the many. To me, Representative Dean embodies one of my favorite quotes from Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If you want to be a true professional, you will do something outside yourself, something to repair the tears in your community, something to make life a little better for people less fortunate than you. That's what I think a meaningful life is, living not for oneself, but for one's community. And Congresswoman Dean certainly is doing that. We're so honored to introduce Congresswoman Dean. Congresswoman?
Well, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. It's my honor and delight to be with you today. And Linda, that was too generous. You have to forgive me, but that was too generous an introduction. I do love the theme, super women and girls will rock the world. So Linda, you're among those folks. So I'll apply it to you, less to me. Thank you, Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am delighted to be in your fellowship today. Thank you, Linda, for inviting me. Thank you, Preston, for inviting me. Friends that I see in this room, friends that I see across the Zoom, I'm just glad to be here with you. I will say to you, my instructions were that I was given up to 20 minutes to talk, but it is Sunday, and I am reminded of my dear uncle, the late Walter Dean, who was a Roman Catholic priest. And he used to say to me, if you can't say it in 6 minutes, you can't say it. And so he would famously deliver beautiful homilies in 6 minutes or less. So I don't know that I'll live up to his 6 minutes, but I want to take a few minutes to talk with you today. But maybe then, if it's all right, Linda, open it up to questions that you may have, and then you can go on continuing your fellowship. I want to start today with Ukraine. I know it is on everyone's heart and mind, and we cannot really figure out how to wrap our broken hearts around this, how to wrap our minds and our intellect around this. The devastation that we are seeing in Ukraine is ungodly. It is unhumanitarian. It is I've said from the beginning, this is not a war, this is a series of war crimes that we are witnessing. And so the 4th Congressional District has a very vibrant Ukrainian American community doing all kinds of work to send things back home to Ukraine. But I will start by just simply saying Slava Ukraini, glory to Ukraine, and Slava Heroem. Know that we in Congress are doing everything in our power to get aid to Ukraine to end this these crimes against humanity. And so I'll begin there and say that I don't pretend to have the answers, but I do have the heart to work on it as hard as possible. You know, I was thinking about you you are named for Thomas Paine. I cannot tell you the number of times in our caucus Nancy Pelosi or Jamie Raskin has invoked different words of Thomas Paine. But the ones I'm thinking of today are the times have found us. The times have found you and me, not just me as an elected, but you and me as citizens of this world. I love the UU belief and mission and spirit. And the times have found us. The times have found us to try to repair the world, to lift up those who are vulnerable and who are weak. The times have found us to protect a young democracy and the protection of her women and girls. I kept thinking of the Ukrainian women and girls as she played those beautiful songs. We want to all make a difference for the good. And that's why I feel very privileged to serve in Congress at this time. I guess I'd feel privileged at any time, but man, oh man, this couldn't be a more important time. And Thomas Paine in the darkest days of the revolution recognized that. So the times have found us yet again. I'll speak briefly to the notion of women in Congress. You lifted, Linda, the notion that in Congress, we don't have enough women, frankly. And before I ran in 2018, alongside what we called the Fab Four, Susan Wild and Chrissy Houlihan and Mary Gay Scanlon and I, sadly, and I don't say this as a political statement, I say it as a statement, we had no women serving in Congress. The last woman who served in Congress, served us well, was Alison Schwartz, who served for 10 years. But at the time in 2018, of the 18 member delegation, there were no women. And so with the help of a lot of good people, the four of us ran hard and were lifted up and now serve in Congress. Just so you know the stats, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg would not be satisfied. Right now in Congress, I believe we have 120 women in the House, 24 women in the Senate. So roughly 25% of our body are women. We have a long way to go. So we have to keep encouraging those women and girls. I think you might remember an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg when they talked about, oh, look at the number of women on the Supreme Court. They said, when will you be satisfied? She said, when the number is 9. So in any event, we need to lift more women and girls to public service across the aisle, on both sides of the aisle, on every side of the aisle. Something I thought I'd just quickly go over with you was what a strange time these last almost 4 years have been. I was elected in 18, sworn in January 3rd of 19. And I say this to say that government's role to play is not simply to witness and to catalog the hardships and tragedies of our times, but it is actually to make a difference about those. But think about these last 4 years and the hardships and tragedies we have witnessed, and I hope we have all acted upon. When I came in January of 19, we were in the longest government shutdown in our nation's history, a very painful shutdown for all people of our country. We had to do something about it. We suddenly were thrust into a first impeachment, and I serve on judiciary, and had a role to play there, an oversight role to play there. Very quickly, we were in a pandemic. We have all struggled through the closure of pandemic and the lives that the pandemic has taken, among them, my own mother-in-law, and I'm certain many members of your community, our community. Hundreds of thousands of lives, of souls lost. at the same time, a global economic shutdown. And then an increasingly troublesome government edging toward autocracy to the point of an insurrection just 1 year ago. And then I had the solemn honor of serving during impeachment too, a very sad and solemn honor. And now, just when you thought there couldn't be more to tackle, the devastation of the invasion of Ukraine and the brutal, brutal slaughter, loss of life, loss of property there. Again, Slava Ukraini. But I said, representative government's role is not just to list these things, but to do something about them. And so what we have done, men and women, Republicans and Democrats, and independents too, is we dealt with the closure. We forced the government to reopen. We know it is our responsibility to have a functioning government so that all of its agencies can survive and serve. With impeachment one, sadly, we had to hold a president accountable. With the pandemic, you saw how quickly and hurriedly, frankly, and we didn't even know entirely what we were doing, but in Congress, in a uniform way, almost uniform way, we knew we had to get resources to people, to hospitals, to small businesses, to families, to individuals, as we awaited the development of vaccines. And so we did that through the CARES Act and budgets. Our budgets reveal our values. Then, importantly, we had a series of elections. And sadly, we had such tumult over those free and fair elections to the point of an insurrection. What did we do about that? We lift up our democracy. And we say that we have to recognize the fragile, precious nature of our democracy, just as Thomas Paine did. And now with impeachment, we have to do everything in our power to serve the people of Ukraine and to make sure that we get them everything they need in terms of weapons, humanitarian aid, sanctions, to isolate and put a stranglehold on this villain who is simply committing crimes against humanity. It's not just my role to play, I know that. And I thank you for the role you are playing in lifting up all of these challenges and difficulties, but also the peaceful solution to them. I think I'll end by saying I was reading on your website what I'll call your children's creed, a set of statements and beliefs that our children should believe, that we are all one, that we are all worthy and worthwhile. And I am such a believer. That when we see things clearly through the lens of our children, we will get this project right. We have to go back and see things through the lens of a child, where a child doesn't see differences. A child just lifts up the fun and the joy in each human being and protects the fragility of each human being. Children don't know hate. They aren't born with that value or lack of value. That's something that creeps in, sadly. And so I so honor what Thomas Paine UU Fellowship does to remind us that we are all like the little children. We are all worthy of love, and we are all deserving of peace and prosperity. And with that, I'll toss it back to you, Linda.
Thank you, and thank you very much for those inspiring words. And I didn't mention earlier that the Congresswoman is recovering from COVID herself and has agreed to join us today. And for that, I thank you. You really have gone the extra mile in bringing us this amazing message. I'm going to open it up to anyone in the audience who would like to ask the Congresswoman a question. And I think I have to ask our tech team, the best way that she will be able to hear them would be if they come to a microphone. Is that correct? So you can either come, should it be this microphone or the other one? Okay. If you'd come up and speak into the mic, then Congresswoman will be able to hear you.
Hi, Congresswoman Madeline Dean. I'm Dave Lentz, and I'm a lifelong Democrat. I was in sales and marketing for 30 years for very large companies. And my question is, considering the fact that we're in severe danger of losing power in the next general election, why are the Democrats as a whole, from the Biden administration on down to local level, why are we such terrible salespeople at selling our ideals and ideas to specifically independents? When I was starting in sales, because I worked for such great companies, I had fantastic products. My first year I did very badly because I believed in my products so much that I got to the point where I felt my customers were stupid if they didn't buy from me. I think there's a lot of that, way too much of that, going around in our Democratic Party. They weren't stupid, they were ignorant. Sales and politics and life is about communication. Can't someone realize that we need to do a whole lot better job? Our ideals are the best. They are perfect. They are the way the world should work. They are not going to sell themselves. We consistently act as though they will. They will not. What can the Democratic Party, the Biden administration, all down to the local level, do to change this and make it much more likely that we'll continue to hold on to our power in the next elections?
All right, Dave, I have a question for you. What do you sell? What did you sell?
I sold laboratory equipment. I worked for Waters, Millipore, and they were truly the best products around. And I was not doing well until I realized that I had to sell them. It's not self-obvious to customers, and they consistently bought from the competition. If I didn't go in there, I called it belaboring the obvious. It was obvious to me they were the best. But they were the instrumentation that is the most important analytical tool. It drives bioanalytical research, pharmaceutical drug development, everything. It tells you in any given sample liquid what's in there and how much is in there, and was very vital to the customers to learn how to do this right. At the end of my career, I'm retired 5 years now, I gave a lecture at Princeton University, and I went in to tell them that, this was the proteomics department, I went in to tell them, you people think that you have written the definitive paper on this. You were totally wrong. You were not even doing the technology that you thought you were doing. So it was very important that I sold the equipment to customers because it did the best job.
Well, clearly Dave is an apostle for his products. And I want to be very mindful here. And Linda, correct me if I'm wrong. Because of the setting and where we are, I don't want to be partisan. But you have an important message, and it is a statement of how do I get across the values I care about and others like me, whether you are Democrats or Republicans. To your point, I'll take your shot. You're right. It's not the first I've heard of it. People of my party don't seem to express clearly what we stand for and sell it well. But I want to be very careful and be nonpartisan here. What should I be doing to sell what I believe in better? Telling you exactly what we did. So, for example, during a pandemic, it was my majority. This is not being political. This is by the numbers. It was my majority that said we will struggle if we do too little too late. The worst thing we can do is risk doing too little and too late during a global pandemic and an economic closure. It was my caucus, my party, that pushed forward and said, we must do more for the American people to lift them up in this time of difficulty. I hope that wasn't lost on anybody. We did have bipartisan support for that. As we moved forward, we had just 1 year ago this week, we passed the American Rescue Plan, sadly, with no bipartisan support, But what did that do? Got us from 10% of vaccines in arms to now more than 80% of vaccines in arms. Lifted 40% of children out of poverty. When I sing of these things in fellowship with you today, I hope that says something to somebody. I hope that says something to a voter, that these are the values I care about and people of my caucus care about. In the meantime, we've passed infrastructure. We've passed the Competes Act to bring manufacturing back here. We sent dollars to state and local governments to support education, to support our police, to support our municipalities. Sadly, state government didn't do good things with that. Democrats and Republicans, they did not do good things with that. So back to your notion, what's the difference between us and them in messaging? We don't sing our song well enough. I don't know why, but I do know that on the other side, what we saw in the last wave of communications was the very powerful notion, and anybody who studies messaging knows that negative messaging, creating fear, can be extraordinarily powerful. So we are up against, we offer too complex a message, and we are up against something incredibly powerful, which is fear and disinformation. But what I'm gonna keep doing is saying, I am proud of this administration. Look what has happened around Ukraine. As heartbreaking as it is, the world sees the wrong here. We are united as a globe against the terror, the villain, Mr. Putin. I don't know that we would have been there under other leadership. I don't know that we would have been there. Other leadership wanted to tear apart the 70 years of NATO, the relationships that are so important around this world to lift up peace and prosperity for all. So Dave, your point is well taken. We're not good at it, but I'm gonna keep singing this Sunday and every day of what I care about, the values that I bring and that I bring to legislation. And then I hope importantly, Pennsylvania will say is, you know what, elections matter. And I wanna see what the values are of those who would lead us. So we're trying to get better. Dave, I will tell you.
Thank you, Dave.
If I can just add one quick thing. I agree with everything you said. We do need more professional help. Sales and marketing and communication, we can't do that ourselves.
Okay.
We can be the best politicians in the world, but we need professional sales and marketing help to do
and
that.
And I will just add one last thing to the, and then close this and invite someone else up if they would like to ask the Congresswoman. I also think the onus is on every single individual. This is something we are finding out in this fellowship, that when you believe something, you better stand up for it. And as Democrats, I'm going to speak as a Democrat, and I'm speaking about myself. I didn't want to get into fights with anyone, so I'd keep my mouth shut. But the times are too tough now. Oh, by the way, a few people in the audience that are looking at me like, when was that? Okay. It was before you knew me, okay? But I learned early on, if you don't speak up, the same things will continue. And so if you have a belief and you see someone who is acting counter to that belief, then we, it's not just our congresspeople and our elected officials that should speak our values. We better start speaking them or we'll be in dire straits. Okay, anyone else like to have a question for the Congresswoman? Well, I do want to take this moment to thank you so much for joining us and spending time with us. I know you've been recuperating, and the work you are doing for all of us in Washington, I am so grateful for this generation, for the people that are living and in this room now, and for the children that have not even yet been born. The world that you are helping to bring about and to sustain. I am extremely grateful for everything you're doing, for fighting for our values and our beliefs.
Thank you. The same goes right back to all of you. Thank you for the fight that you're in to build a better world. It's been my privilege to be with you, and I have turned the corner on COVID. I'm doing fine, so thank you very, very much.
Thank goodness.
The world needs an anthem for all of womankind. A song to fight, a song to right the wrongs of all of time.
So we put pen to paper and wrote all through the night. A gorgeous ode to feminism well within our sights.
But this is pretty nuanced stuff, and putting it all in one song was tough. And that's why this is not a feminist song. Tried real hard, but it took too long. This is not a feminist song, 'cause we were scared we would do it wrong. We know women need an anthem, a song to call their own. But we didn't write that anthem, we went home.
Every woman has a struggle, and every struggle's real. But just try and write a song that captures every woman's deal. So instead of writing lyrics, here's us running in the sand. And here's a bunch of lens flares and an old woman's hands.
Not to call a woman old or judge a woman's hands.
We know a woman shouldn't be reduced to just her hands.
We stepped right into that trap. It's so hard to navigate this crap.
And that's why this is not a feminist song.
It's time for Matt. This is the portion in our service where if you have a joy you would like to share or a sorrow that's weighing you down, think about it and share briefly. And I think we're going to have a musical interlude. Right, John? Okay. And then John's going to explain how you can share.
Sky. Women carry more than half the water. Women bring all the children in.
bring this time of sharing to a close by playing Spirit of Life. The words and lyrics will appear on screen.
Flo Shore will deliver our closing words.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, "I'm sometimes asked, when will there be enough women on the Supreme Court? And my answer is, when there are nine." People are shocked, but there'd been nine men, and nobody ever raised a question about that. And now Gail Sayre will extinguish the chalice.
We extinguish this flame, but not our concern for all those living in perilous circumstances or our hope for peace in all the world. And now our closing song is hymn 1017, "We Are Building a New Way," followed by Lindy Fisher with the announcements.
We are building a new way. We are building a new way. We are building.